I am Linda Webb. I'm here on behalf of Dennis Susu, who is the petitioner in this case. We're here on the district court's abuse of discretion multiple times. First is with the district court's erroneous view of the law and his evidentiary rulings, and also in the clearly erroneous assessments of the facts. The first and the erroneous view of law, the denial of the production.
Help me on a detail here. A lot depends on the non-production of this video camera on multiple arguments that you've made.
Yes, Your Honor.
Frankly, it was my view reading the record that the government, that there was pretty good claim that the video camera ought to be produced, although there was pretty good argument for not producing it as well. But everything would also require that there be something on the video camera that might be exculpatory. And I could not for the life of me figure out how or where the defendant makes out any case for there being anything on the video camera that's exculpatory or impeaching.
I think there's two things, Your Honor. First is that without the reduction of the video camera, of course, that the defendant then is left to the assertions of the prosecution that there's
not really, not usually that would be so, but in this case you had the audio recording, which successfully impeached.
Right, and that sounds like it does, Your Honor. But on the other hand, also we have Agent King.
It did. You've got the agent saying what Susu said to him, and it turned out not to be true.
Well,
and he had an audio recording to prove it.
Well, we also have Agent King saying that when he had the video camera, that he set it up. He's the one that put it together. He was the one that was using it. That he took it off when he was.
He successfully proved he was a klutz. You successfully proved he was a klutz who misremembered what the defendant had said to him.
Well, I agree with that also, but I also think the thing was that he does say that this was, he considered it evidence, and that it would have shown whether or not Mr. Susu had him at gunpoint in that automobile on March 15th.
But you got two eyewitnesses to that, right? You got the agent and the informant.
Frankly, Your Honor, I wouldn't give the informant the time of day.
Well, let's go back to who was present.
Okay,
counsel,
well.
Without regard to characterizing them as witnesses or not. Were there or were there not two people who testified that your client pointed a gun?
Well, there's two people in that car that testified to it, yes.
Right.
On the other hand, I think that you have to look at the entire circumstances in that automobile.
Which the jury did, and don't we have to view the jury's determination of the evidence in the light most favorable to support the verdict?
Well, I think that's true, but I think here that what you have is a video camera that was known to the prosecution. It certainly should have been if it was not, because it was in his agent's hands, the government's agent's hands.
Counsel, the problem I'm having is, as Judge Kleinfeld pointed out to you, we got two witnesses who say your client pointed the gun at the agent. We have an audio recording that corroborates the testimony to the extent that we can't see it, but we can certainly hear what sounds like a gun being trained on the agent. And we've got a jury finding of guilt. I'm back to Judge Kleinfeld's question. Where's the beef here? Where's the exculpatory evidence that shows that none of this happened?
Well, I think the thing is if you look at two cases, Brady, where it says if the evidence may be favorable to the defendant, and if you also look at Carringer,
there has to be evidence. That the problem is you're asking for a fishing expedition. You're the only thing you can do at this point is say they didn't produce the video camera to me so that my expert could look at it to see whether or not there was anything there. But at this point, that's sheer speculation, as the district court found. That's not evidence.
But the problem is we were never given the opportunity to see if there was everything on that. And so what all you have to do is then is rely only on the prosecution's case.
Can you cite me one Brady case where there was no evidence in order to establish that something exculpatory was withheld?
No, I cannot do that, Your Honor.
So this would be a case of first impression under Brady.
Well, yes, it would be, Your Honor, but on the other hand, like I said, that if you look at Agent King and what Agent King is saying about what he believed was on that camera and that he believed it was working, and who really is the one that downloaded this camera?
Was there a proffer? I mean, it looks to me like what happened was the agent didn't know enough to turn on the camera before he tried to photograph the events, and the events didn't get photographed, but they were audio taped. What I'm really looking for is a proffer of something that would establish that there's some evidence on the camera. They didn't want to show it to the defense because they want to keep their type of surveillance camera secret. So I'm looking for a proffer. Like if there was an affidavit from Susu, I never pointed that gun. The agent was saying that stuff. I don't know what he was talking about when he was talking about pointing the gun. And when I was talking about smoking him, what I meant was I felt like a cigarette. I'm looking for some kind of proffer that would make some kind of case here.
Well, I think the thing is, Your Honor, that first of all, the context of what Mr. Susu said was taken, actually what he said was taken out of context because he didn't say.
Where's the proffer of what the context is? I mean, I know that what the agent said wasn't quite right.
But what the agent said, and many times, I think what the agent said, it was right. Agent King said that he thought that he believed that Mr. Susu was threatened by him while he was in the automobile, and that's on the 15th. And then the other thing he says is that he thought that that camera was working, and who really downloaded the camera? Three other agents. None of them. He wasn't the one that downloaded it. Three other agents. And there's no expert testimony. The prosecution had no expert testimony. They had no expert report.
But
it's just
going
three
back
agents.
To my question, isn't the burden on you at this stage to come forward with some evidence? Presumably you tried to interview the three agents to ask them to see whether or not there was anything there. Wouldn't you need to show that one of the agents said, yeah, there was something there, but, you know, we just kind of accidentally erased it?
Well, I think I wasn't trial counsel for this, but I think...
Well, I'll say Mr. Susu. Isn't it his burden to establish the Brady violation?
I think that the problem here in this case is that he can't establish anything because he was never given anything to look at to see whether there was something
But we don't know
not.
If there's anything there. I keep getting back to my problem with the entire premise for the Brady claim, and that is we don't know that anything exculpatory actually is extant or ever was.
Right, but on the other hand, I think you also have to look at the cases that say if it may be or if it might be. One is Brady, which is maybe, and the other is Carringer, which is it might be. And here we don't even know whether it is a possibility
or probability. Both of those cases involved actual evidence that the court could look at and say in light of this evidence, it might have been viewed as exculpatory by the fact finder.
Right, but I think
and
that's
we don't
what I.
Have that here.
But no, but I think that's what Agent King says. Agent King says that he basically is saying that if this stuff was on this tape, if something was downloaded from this tape, it would have shown whether he pointed a gun at me.
If it had been working, it would have shown Mr. Susu pointing his gun at me in the car and threatening to smoke me. That's what the video.
But the problem here is that we're talking about a camera. That's a digital camera that really needed an IT person, expert type of person, to download this camera.
Okay,
to
so
see
we've
what was on
so
it.
We've established the agent is a klutz, but that cameras. Doesn't make out a Brady violation. I can't get past that.
Well,
do you want to speak to any of the other issues, or do you
yes, I do. I also want to speak to the self-defense issues, which the jury instruction for self-defense. The court relied upon Lemon and said that there was a lack of sufficient evidence.
You don't need much, but you need some evidence.
Some evidence.
And I couldn't find it.
Right, and the some evidence that I'm relying upon is once again that Agent King is saying to the tested it in the trial that. Mr. Susu, or he believed that Mr. Susu believed that he was threatened by him. And this was during the whole entire scenario in the car, and that sort of comes through on the, it does come through on the audio tape. He's talking about he doesn't want to go back to jail, he doesn't know him, he doesn't want him to see his face, he's seen his face, all of those type of problems.
I read that transcript, and I couldn't really see your case in the transcript. It looked to me like the agent's starting to get panicky and he's trying to lay down on the recording, and I suppose if they're monitoring it as fellow agents, that Susu is pointing a gun at him and trying to talk Susu out of killing him, such as by giving the DEA's money to Susu.
Well, I think
getting the guns.
Okay, I think, Your Honor, that the thing is that what you're really listening to in that audio tape is a response, and I will admit that it's not the best response in the world that you can make if you were the defendant, and that is when someone, you think you have patted someone down, there's no guns, there's no wires, and he thinks that the agent is a criminal also, just like he is in this.
Well, just a minute. Are you saying that fact alone is enough to merit a self-defense instruction?
No.
That he thinks the agent is a dealer?
No, I'm not saying
that. What is the specific evidence that is amounts to, you know, some evidence?
I think that the evidence is that the agent himself believed that Mr. Susu felt very threatened by the entire scenario.
The agent believed that Mr. Susu felt threatened?
He said that he felt threatened.
So what the agent believes is evidence to support a self-defense instruction?
That's the first part of it, but there's more to it. I think that is one, and I think the other thing is that you look at all the other cases and what is really necessary. The court doesn't have the sufficient evidence. It has to have some evidence under Ruiz, and whether under Sanchez Lima, it can be weak, it can be insufficient, inconsistent, doubtful credibility, but the jury instruction should be given, because really what it does is it leaves the defendant with absolutely no defense whatsoever in this type of a case. And is the self-defense legally sufficient? I would look again to...
So what are you saying? The fact that the evidence to support the charge itself is weak. I mean, that's enough to merit a self-defense instruction?
I don't think I'm not following you, Your Honor. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm not following you. What is the, you know, the sum evidence? I mean, one, you said that the agent believed that Susu was scared. Was there anything else, any other evidence?
The agent.
I mean, what would you argue to the jury, evidence on which you should return a, you know, verdict to self-defense?
The agent attested at the trial that Mr. Susu believed that he was threatened, right?
Right.
Could you point us to the excerpt, say?
Yes, it is. I believe it's zero. It's our excerpts, and it's 099.
Thanks.
So I wanted to address that. Those were the main two ones. The other
one. Wait a minute. The main two. What's the second part of the two?
099 is argument.
In ours?
I just wanted to follow the answer to Judge Tashima's question by looking at the evidence. But
he said your citation was just to argument. But what I'm trying to get is, so what is the evidence?
Your Honor.
The evidence is, one, that the agent believed that Susu was scared. Is there any other piece of evidence that supports a self-defense instruction?
No, it's not just that the agent believed that Susu was scared, that the agent, that Mr. Susu believed that he was threatened.
And what evidence is there of that, that Susu believed he was threatened?
That comes from Agent King. That's the problem with this case. There's Agent King is the main prosecution witness. The defendant doesn't have to testify to anything. And basically, it's just the two of them here in this exchange.
So he wants a self-defense instruction, but he didn't testify to any of this.
He didn't testify to anything.
Right.
Wait a minute. Now, the agent testified that Susu believed that he was threatened?
Yes.
Now, where is that?
That, Your Honor, I thought was at 099. And the other sighting that I had was 117. In volume 2, I think it was, of the in volume 2 of the excerpts from
It's not 117.
It's not 117. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry, it escapes me at this point then, Your Honor.
I thought you might have a sticky on it and a markup there.
The other thing is that with the assault in the auto, Agent King also testified that he didn't see a bullet in the chamber and he didn't see if the gun was cocked, and that is in the excerpts of the defendant.
Wait a minute. King testified that he did not see those two things?
Yes, he did.
In the weapon that your client was holding on?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what does that have to do with self-defense?
Well, I'm just saying that those are two of the things that he did testify to also, when he is the one that's saying that we've got a loaded gun on me.
I don't make it.
Well, you know, that might go to an argument that there was no assault.
Right.
But I don't know if it goes to self-defense.
Right.
All right. So I understand your argument. Now, anything else that amounts to, you know, I'll call it self-defense evidence?
This was the main thing.
That's the main part. All right.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. May I reserve?
Thank you, counsel.
Good morning, Honor. My name is Kevin Feldes, and I represent the United States, and I was trial counsel in this case. May it please the court. The district court in this case found that there was no evidence to preserve.
It's a little delicate not producing the camera. Now, the defense made very effective work of the non-production by telling the jury they had a video camera, and we don't get to see the video. Wonder what they're hiding. Good way to deal with it. Still, sure would be nice to have somebody besides the prosecution verify that the agent forgot to turn it on and there's nothing on the video camera. The agent was inaccurate in what he said about the words, and the audio proved he was inaccurate. So it'd sure be nice for some neutral party and not just the prosecution to verify that there really was nothing on the video camera. What could be so secret? Everybody now has video on their little $99 digital cameras. There's nothing very technical about uploading it to your computer. My guess is it's hard to find a 12-year-old that doesn't know how, or for that matter, a person in his 60s who doesn't know how. Everybody knows how. And everybody's either looked at or seen ads for very small and surreptitious video cameras, or ones that could be used pretty surreptitiously. What's the big secret, and what justification can there be for not letting somebody neutral verify that there's nothing on the video camera?
Well, to address that question, Your Honor, your first point, I think, is the correct one. This was a trial strategy by Mr. Sui about how to approach this issue.
Well, it's had to deal with the fact that they don't get to see the video camera.
There was no request made to review this video device until halfway through the trial.
They didn't know it existed
did. In his opening statement, defense counsel made this a big part of what his case was going to be about. He said the government lost evidence, there is missing evidence, and he used the words the government bungled this case.
What did you tell them before the trial about the video camera?
Exactly what they learned from Agent King, that there was a device and it didn't record and there is no evidence. In fact, when he was cross-examining Agent King on the witness stand, he referred to the very report that he had been given, defense counsel had been given, which referenced item 002, video. He asked Agent King about that. Look, there's a piece of evidence. It's missing. And that's when you see Agent King testify, contrary to what we heard, and this is at volume 2, page 183. Agent King says there is no evidence. Once we handed that device off, we realized there was nothing recorded,
so
nothing.
Let's get back to my question now. What is the justification for not letting the defense, or if it's really secret, the judge verify that there's really nothing on that video device?
Well, in the context of this case, it was day 3 or 4 when the defense counsel requested to actually analyze that device. There had already been two continuances of trial, including one that was on the eve of trial. The district judge had to weigh the factors here. The district judge heard the testimony of the agent, decided that there was no evidence and that it would be fruitless to interrupt the course of trial.
Did he base that on taking a look at the video camera in chambers, or on taking the agent's word for it?
The testimony of the agent about what had been done and that nothing was recorded. But in the context of this case,
shouldn't he be required to take a look at the video camera in chambers?
Well, I doubt there was anything the district court could have done by looking at this.
Well, device. You could turn the switch from off to on and look at the LCD.
In this case, there was no...
Probably press that reverse arrow that shows you what you've got on it.
This was a decision by the defense of how to approach this issue. They could have requested it before.
Follow just a little bit on Judge Kleinfeld's question. First of all, when the request was made by the defense to look at the camera device itself, right? And this was like 3 or 4 days
that
into
was
the
mid-trial.
Trial. 3 or 4 days into the trial, right?
Correct.
And was it clear? And some kind of hearing was held on that request, right?
Yes, Your Honor. This was.
And at that hearing, did the defense... Was it clear that the defense needed, like, a continuance in order to examine it?
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, how did that come out?
The judge
No, I mean that the defense needed a continuance. Did they say, you know, we'd like a continuance so we can send this to an expert or what? How did that come?
That was their request. We would like, Your Honor, to order that this device be produced, and we need time. We want to send this to an expert to determine whether there was anything on there.
So it was clear that a continuance would have been required.
Yes, Your Honor. And the district court ruled against that, and the district court found that there was no evidence to preserve when he decided and rejected request for an instruction.
Let me back up now. Is it also clear that the defense knew before the trial commenced that there was this camera that, according to the government, didn't work, right?
Yes, it is clear, and it's referenced in the opening
several
statement.
Several days or several weeks before trial? How long?
He knew several weeks before trial. He was aware of that and had a copy of the agent's report referencing item 002, which was marked video. Right. It was explained to the defense counsel that nothing recorded, and that seemed to the government to resolve the issue. In right. The opening statement, the government got beat up on this very heavily. It was the trial strategy of the defense. Again, Agent King was beat up on this on the stand, and he answered the questions. When he tried to explain more, there was hearsay objection about testimony from other agents. The defense could have called other agents if they wanted to explore this. But this is all in the context of a very, very compelling audio tape that captured every detail of this transaction. The agent testified about exactly what happened, and the informant testified. So all the evidence was clear and overwhelming.
Now, just because the defense wanted a few days to have an expert look at it doesn't mean that the judge would have to go all the way with them or no way at all. Judge could have said, well, don't know about that, but at the end of the trial day today at 4:30, I want you to bring that into chambers, and I'll take a look at it and decide where to go from there.
Judge Burgess could have done that. He didn't. He didn't abuse his discretion in doing that. What we're alleged now is an alleged Brady violation.
Why not? It's so simple. And, you know, maybe this is, I don't know what you've got either. Maybe this is some mysterious James Bond device too complicated for AT&F agents to work. But maybe it isn't. I don't know.
No one would have been happier than Agent King to show the video playing of what he felt and how he almost lost his life on March 15th.
Well, it would also be nice to verify that, as he says, there's no video, and that's the end of that.
Judge Burgess could have done that. This particular device, as the court ruled, ATF did not have to reveal the secret nature of the device, but it's not a device in which you can hit play and see it on a video screen. It was something that they would have, if anything were to have been captured on this device, then it would have had to have been downloaded. They weren't able to do that.
Yeah, you've got your Bluetooth activated. It's downloaded. It says file 0010 seconds.
And if the defense had made that motion prior to trial, they may have had the opportunity
Counsel,
to do that.
Do we know anything about what this device is? I take it this is not something I can go down to Radio Shack and buy off the shelf.
Correct, Your Honor. So what we have here is something that the defense tried to use as a strategy. And now they are trying to use it as a strategy here to raise a Brady violation when there is no evidence and there's certainly no indication that what would be on that video would be exculpatory.
My problem with the case, I don't know if you picked it up, is I've got to take your word for there being no evidence.
Well, we have the testimony of the agent who testified.
I've got to take his word for it. I've got to take the government's word for there being no evidence. And it's kind of nice to have neutral arbiters, judges, those decisions.
Well, that's why Judge Burgess did do it very carefully.
Did the judge make a finding that there was no...
He did make that finding, specifically. And Judge Burgess took this matter seriously, and Agent King was allowed to be recalled on this matter, and there were argument outside the presence of the jury on the matter, so it was treated very seriously. And Judge Burgess had to make a decision, and he didn't abuse his discretion in how he ruled on these evidentiary matters. Now we're here for a Brady violation. And, of course, we submit, as the court noted, that there was no evidence, and every indication was that this happened exactly as recorded on the audio tape. There has to be some basis for such a Brady motion, and there's absolutely no basis here.
Your time's running low. I really like to hear you on another subject.
Yes,
I'd like you just here for you to summarize just as briefly as you can. This is on the self-defense. One, the evidence that there was an assault by the defendant, all right? And two, evidence that would support a self-defense instruction. Now, I know you were trial counsel, you said, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So you must have thought there was some evidence because you said, well, out of an abundance of caution, government agrees you should give that instruction, right? So you must have thought there was something. that, you know, maybe some appellate judge who didn't know trial practice might, you know, make a mistake on it at least. But anyway, you thought there was something, right?
Well, the evidence was so overwhelming in this case, when it finally came down to it, you're correct, Your Honor. I said, you know, Your Honor, we won't object. We'll leave it to your discretion. You can give this instruction, and we'd avoid being here today. Judge Burgess carefully analyzed this issue, and he looked at it carefully, and it's in the record, and he found there was absolutely no evidence that would support
self-defense. Well, what is the best evidence that could support?
There's none. There's absolutely none. Agent King didn't testify that Mr. Sui Sui was afraid. Quite to the contrary, if we look at the factual record, which I don't think is clear in the defendant's brief, before Agent King even announced that he had a gun, and he did that to protect his own life because he was sure he would be shot if it were found unexpectedly, before that happened, Mr. Sui Sui said, "This is where I have to smoke you. You have seen my face," meaning you've seen my face and you have to go, and I'm not going back to jail. Then he told him to take off his jacket, and the minute he take
by the way,
off his shirt.
By the way, what is the assault? Is it like that the defendant pointed his gun at the agent or the
He put Agent King in fear for his life at that moment or during this whole conversation.
By pointing the weapon at
him. By pointing the weapon and telling him, I have to smoke you now, and you've seen my face.
That's the assault?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right.
And there's no challenge to that.
And I'm just trying to get the context for the self-defense argument now. So
sure.
That's your argument. There's some, at least, argument that, who was pointing the gun, right?
There was no question about who was pointing the gun.
It's clear. You think it's clear from the, well, at least from the transcript of the audio recording that it was the defendant?
Oh, absolutely. And Agent King says, I'm supposed to.
He's the one who said, like, you know, I have a chamber, a round in the chamber. And
I've got one in the chamber.
And he's the one who talked about smoking.
Yeah, if you look at it's in the excerpts of record, volume 5, starting around page 120 or so, we'll see that Mr. Sui Sui is specifically talking about, I've got one in the chamber, dog, this is where I'm supposed to
smoke. Let me ask
my
question a different way. Suppose you were representing the defendant. What would you argue is the evidence that supports self-defense?
There is no evidence here. There's not one scintilla of evidence here.
You just confess there's no evidence, huh?
There is no evidence, Your Honor, that would support that. And everything in the jury was quite compelling. The jury, of course, ultimately had no problem finding that he was put in fear for his life.
But your point now mentioned two things. One, that the agent testified, right?
Yes.
That Susu was scared, and two, he also testified that Susu believed that he was threatened.
I don't think that that's an accurate reflection of the record.
You don't recall those statements agent in the record?
No, the agent was afraid that Mr. Sui Sui might be react badly when he realized that the agent had a gun on his person. This was when the gun is a foot from his face. He'd already seen that the gun was, in fact, loaded. He recognized the specific ammunition for this case when Mr. Sui Sui showed him the cartridge, loaded the gun, and kept it pointed at him. Not only did he point it, he threatened to kill him. That's the bottom line. This agent was doing everything he could to struggle for his life. The idea of self-defense was not supported by
anything. Was this audio being broadcast to the other agents?
It was, Your Honor. And Agent Pelosi testified at trial, so there was actually a third witness overhearing this who testified exactly what he was hearing on this audio tape and what he perceived to be happening. And that was exactly that Mr. Sui Sui was about to shoot.
It read to me as though the confidential informant and the agent were both trying to tell the other agents around what was going on.
That's right, Your Honor. That's what happened here. And Agent Pelosi, who testified at trial, was listening to this and testified consistently with that. On the career offender provision, we believe this is a clear case where the military conviction is given full faith and credit under Williams, and this is a straightforward Taylor analysis. This comes within the four corners of a burglary of a dwelling. If there are no other questions on any other points?
Nope. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I think you reserved a half minute or so.
Okay, just a few things. One is as far as to the courts with the delay and the defense counsel asking for the Brady materials and for the Jinx materials. I was not the trial attorney. Mr. Coe was. And Mr. Coe, I've spoken to numerous times about this case, and he has told me that the he did not know about the video camera until the day of trial, to the morning of trial, and that's why there was not a motion made to dismiss this case until halfway through the trial. I believe it was the fifth day of trial. That's when it started. And there was no expert testimony from the prosecution about this video recording at all.
It is true that Mr. Coe, in his opening statement, made reference to the bungling of the video.
Yes, he did.
And is it also true that he didn't make the request until about the third or fourth day of trial?
Well, as far as that motion to dismiss, Your Honor, but he told me that he had made a request for Jenks and Brady's material approximately a week before the trial, and that he got only what they gave him, and that did not include this information about the video
counsel,
camera.
Counsel, I have a little bit of problem deciding a case on the basis of something that's not in the record.
I understand that, Your Honor.
The record shows that he did make reference to it in his opening statement.
That's correct.
And it wasn't until the third or fourth day of trial
that he actually requested production. Yes, Your Honor.
And that included a request for a continuance of the trial because it was going to take some time to examine the gear.
Yes. We think the examination could have been done in about 24 hours, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay.
I have another question, and I don't know who to ask it to. I've seen catalogs advertising what they call babysitter cameras or nanny cameras, and what it does is it broadcasts to your home computer so that you can have a surreptitious video device that's recording the babysitter or nanny, and if you load your software on your computer, it can read what the camera is sending. I'm inferring that since you've represented that you can't just turn the camera on and look at the LCD screen, this must be something along those lines. Am I out of line here?
Your Honor, my understanding of the device is that it's a micro device, and it doesn't actually transmit the video. They weren't watching this on video happen. The main device they used was the audio that was feeding live, and that was on the informant. They were so afraid that if Susu found any other device, he would shoot the agent, that this was a micro device that simply wasn't used properly.
Thank you. United States versus Susu is submitted. Want to recess? Let's take a recess for 5 minutes.
Recess. Whatever you say.